Yeah, just enter with like maybe 5 seconds of dance for copyright reasons.
No, of course, yeah, copyright. All right, let's start.
Five seconds, right?
Yeah, we're good. Yes, my people, welcome to another episode of Inside AFTV. And today I've got with me, and I have to big up Josh for this one, yeah? He's a local but international man. I want to say local, globally known, African, international man. I've got Kelechi with me. You good?
I think so.
Yes,
we, before
copyright is here, don't stop there.
We don't want to get the copyright done, but we are inside. I know we say we're outside, but we're inside. I didn't even know we was going to do the music today. And you know what? We're gonna get into where that started and why it started and whatnot. We're gonna get through all of that. And I'm gonna let you know straight away off the bat, today's theme is social media. So I had to bring you on. Because for me, you are the social media guy. I know you feel you do a lot of stuff. I did a lot of research.
Just a lookout, man. I don't know what they're talking about, but it's okay.
It's okay. I want to say you're just a local man because you've been around. Like, I did the digging, Kelechi. Went through all your socials from post one. You've been around. You've been about for a long time. But let me just start off with saying as well.
You're making me look like a veteran. don't mind him.
I was going to say as well, like, you're a very interesting character in a sense that I know I want to bring you on more and get to know you more. And obviously, hopefully soon you'll be obviously featuring more as well, which I know you feature a lot on AFT, but loads more because there's so much to you. And I just find you so interesting. There's so many questions. I thought this was going to be a short episode, but then when I was going through all the digging, I was like, wow, no, we're gonna have to break down a lot of things because you're educated as well. Very well educated. And like I said, the social media, we're going to use that as an arc throughout the show. You do a lot on social media, but let me ask you, start with, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for bringing me on. Obviously, I'm always happy to be here on AFTV. Mm-hmm. I see it as my baby, so it's a family business.
Yeah. Okay, so you take pride in AFTV as well. So you say it's your number one. You just said
Of course, I take pride. I mean, it opened doors for a lot of people, inspired a movement.
Definitely.
Might not agree with one or two things that. Some people do there, maybe we might get to that, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we'll get it to that.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely get into to different sides of, obviously social media is the theme, so we're gonna get into different sides of AFTV and your come up and what you love and dislike or what you have questions about, but we'll get into that. Let me start with, were you, obviously I know you're an African man, were you born in the UK or were you born in Nigeria from where you Nigeria?
I'm born in Nigeria.
Okay, where about, what town? Like, give me paint it for me.
Owerri, town called Owerri, Imo State, and that's where I'm from Imo State. Grew up in Nigeria, schooled in Nigeria, my primary, secondary, university, that's my BSc in Nigeria.
You did that all in Nigeria?
Yeah. And then moved there for my master's. So did my master's here and my PhD here.
Blimey.
University of Leeds.
Yeah,
before
I
then moved down to London.
Yeah, okay, so, mad. How old were you when you come over here then?
24 or something, I think.
Okay, 24. Yeah, okay, yeah. Interesting. Oh, I didn't know. I thought you came over quite early, but no, that's quite a lot of your life.
That's why the accent is still Nigerian man accent. We can switch it if we want to switch it.
No. We like it. Listen, we'll keep it authentic. Okay, it's Inside AFTV. It's you, my guy. Yeah. And okay, so do you still identify a lot with your African roots? I know we see you on camera, but
of
even
course,
every day, day to day.
You can see every day, bruv.
Yeah, so explain this. So if guys that listen, you'll see that Kelechi is wearing a traditional hat. And you have the staff. I don't know what you call it, but
the staff, yeah.
The staff, yeah. You bring it to the games, the hair. Explain, just so what's the hat called first?
So the hat is called, it's a Yoruba hat. It's called Fila. Mm-hmm. Yoruba is a tribe in Nigeria.
Yep, yep.
I'm from the Igbo tribe.
Okay.
So Tai's parents are from the Yoruba tribe.
Okay.
Tai is the closest person I can use as an example.
Can you speak Nigerian as well?
I can't speak Igbo. My dad, I can't speak. Tai's parents,
of course.
So that's what they wear. They have different kinds of hats. I have the different ones. I have the Igbo one, my own cultural one, and the house I want. I have everything, so yeah, I can just alternate. And this is called the staff, like you said, Irukere. We use it to bless people.
Okay.
You know how the queen will knight somebody?
People, yeah, yeah.
So we use it to bless people as well. Oh, so
nice.
Yeah, so I just try to rep my culture everywhere I go. I started from day one and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, no, okay. Not ashamed, you know? No, definitely, no, I know. I see you bring it to the games. Obviously, you've been coming to the watch-alongs as well. I've seen you bring it there. And very proud Nigerian man, which I respect as well, especially when you've come over here. And not that this country can sometimes try and sway you to follow their culture, but you say, no, this is me. Like, this is, and you have to accept
of course,
it.
Of course, again, that's why you see when I say AFTV is my baby. Mm. You know, when I started wearing traditional on here, that's when, you know, obviously, truth be told, we don't really have a perfect image outside Nigerians. So, you know, some see us as fraudsters, as this, as that.
Yeah.
And I needed to change that perception. So, AFTV was an outlet for me to kind of change it.
Yeah.
And I started dressing in my attire. Initially, it was a bit alien to some people. Some people look at me like, yo, what's this guy wearing? You know, it was some Nigerians were like, what's this guy doing? But in my head, I'm like, you know, we need time. We're doing the work. We're putting in the work with time. Mm. You know, we are, you know, telling people that Nigerians are cultural people, Nigerians are happy people. There's so much positivity about Nigeria. Yes, there might be some, like in every other society, there might be a few, you know, one or two people that are not doing well or portraying the country well, but you know, this is just what I want to do. And it took off. You know, people accepted me the way I was, and they still do till today. And I could see the cultural change, you know, people wanting to know stuff. You know, even before Afrobeats was this popular, now that everybody's dancing to Afrobeats, we've been doing it here on this channel, you know, spreading the word. And it's good to see how it's grown. So, just proud Nigeria, like you said.
No, definitely. I want to ask you, see, all my guys are ballers. All my guys. Because I remember meeting you at the 1 million subscribers party and you were screaming that. And then we kept asking around my friends, like, did you start that or did someone from Nigeria?
No, someone from Nigeria. Josh Too Funny started it.
Okay. Because I remember you said that a lot and I was like, oh my God, we didn't know where it came from.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Anything that trends in Nigeria, I pick it up quick.
And
I trend it here as well. So.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because it reached down to obviously my community and I was like, oh, when you were saying it at that point, I was like, oh my God, was this your thing? But it's good that you pass on those sort of traits. Mm. When you came to the UK, Kelechi, was there a big cultural difference that you had to adapt to? Or was it difficult for you at first? Obviously, you said you moved to Leeds. Was there a big African community there? Or did you feel any type of way? I'm very intrigued to see what it was like when you first come over.
Before I came over, we used to come on holiday a lot to England. So it was nothing new to me when I moved over. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, kept observing because I was the president of the Nigerian Society there. And I noticed that the undergraduates went coming to the Nigerian Society, registered with ACS.
Yeah.
They felt Niger has a bad image. I just didn't know what it was, and I was trying to get them to be involved, and it was difficult. So I just knew that there was a problem with our identity here, and that's why I kind of started addressing my cultural attire and then telling people who I am and stuff and who we are as Nigerians. But there wasn't a cultural shock or anything for me. Blended in seamlessly. Football wise, obviously followed Arsenal from Nigeria. Came here, started as working as a steward at Leeds United. That's why you see me sometimes. I say I have a soft spot for Leeds United.
Because
they're the ones that put money in my pocket. The first people in this country. So
fair, you know, nice, fair.
I have soft spot for them. You know, all those kind of, you know, jobs as well. So that will actually help you blend into the culture. I did work in Marks and Spencer's.
Wow.
I did stewarding at the rugby stadium, cricket stadium. So I did loads of stuff, you know. So
whilst being a student, okay.
Obviously,
okay.
You're only allowed to work for 20 hours as a student, as an international student. So yeah, that helps me a lot. And it was fun. And obviously, English is our first language in Nigeria. Right. So there was no language barrier at all, so everything was good. Mm.
So there was no, obviously you said you wore your cultural attire when you was there as well. Was there no shock of like, obviously we've got some photos that might come up at this section here, like you in the animal print shirts, like you had a zebra print, like was everyone just warming to you and just thought, you know, that's just Kelechi, were they all happy?
It is what it is. Just like how people ask me to explain what this means, because some of them would know that there's a reason why he's wearing it, or it must represent something. And then you just explain it to them, and they say, oh, that's lovely. And you say, oh, this is, can you bless me? You know? So it just helps, you know, with everything that's going on. You know, if you look at, for instance, I'm not comparing myself to him, Mohamed Salah's impact in Liverpool. I'm not comparing myself to him, by the way. You know, that's the kind of impact that we are making subconsciously or consciously to, you know, change things and to change perceptions. So,
So is that what you think? Do you feel a duty to do that though, is in influence these people from bringing your African, I guess, your roots, your traditions and cultures onto a channel as big as AFTV? Do you feel any pressure for that? Or do you think, no, this is just me, like I'm just doing me?
I'm just doing me, but I'm also aware that, you know, we don't have a good image outside. Mm. I'm also aware that I represent my country.
Right.
I tell myself, you cannot mess this up.
Yeah.
I talk to myself like, people are watching, you know, and when you come from an African family, it's like when you're going out there, they are drying your ear, like they're going to represent us outside. Do not embarrass us outside. That kind of thing. So you're conscious of that as well. And you know that, you know, you have to inspire young ones back home. People are watching, everybody, government of everybody just watching you. So you just have to just keep doing it. And you know, I'm happy when I walk on the street and people say, oh, because of you, I started this. Because of you. Sometimes when I started here, people say at the airport, someone will say, oh, do you know any Nigerian called Kelechi? You know, because I was just putting the culture there. You know, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really amazing. And I'm like, yeah, it's working.
It's working. It's growing. I want to ask, you said earlier, you said that you were supporting Arsenal from back when you was in Nigeria. Was there any like African players that influenced you to support Arsenal? How did you fall in love with us? Where did you find your love for it? Because social media around those times probably wasn't really even about, really. You could obviously just watch online or on TV. Who made you kind of gravitate towards Arsenal? Or was it just, you just thought, I want to support that club? Or was it around the time when we were the great Arsenal?
It was in 94, just after the World Cup of 95, when Beckham came. Yeah, so because I loved him from the World Cup and stuff like that. So he went to Arsenal. So
When Bergkamp in the World Cup, because he was lining up.
So, but I was a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really a supporter. So there's a difference between a fan and a supporter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, but when Kanu then came, that changed everything.
For
As in like, your brother is playing for Arsenal. You have to support your brother, you know. And I've never since, you know, come on holiday. But most of the time when we come on holiday, that's when the season is over, so you might just take a tour of the stadium and that kind of thing.
And
when I moved over, I just started coming to games, you know.
From Leeds?
From Leeds, yeah. I did it for years before I moved to London.
Blimey.
Constantly. From when I started watching games constantly, I think it was 2013 or something, every game.
Yeah, home and away?
I was doing home. I think it was 2014 or 2015, I started doing home and away. But Robbie would interview me first because he knows I need to catch the last train back to Leeds.
Right.
You know, so even if I don't come, like, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. Please, he needs to catch his train. And you see me running, scrambling for the last train. Sometimes I get into Leeds by 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I have to be in the lab at 8 o'clock, you know, that kind of thing. So, but I got used to it.
That's crazy to think. Yeah, back in the, Leeds, Arsenal following them across. Fair enough. That's mad. In the early days, Kletchy, there was no... Well, there was no social media, but do you remember kind of signing up to your first social media accounts? I don't know if it was Facebook, was it Twitter, was it Instagram? Do you remember when Instagram first started and how you kind of navigated through these social media accounts? Do you remember any of that? Any stories of that? Were you consciously thinking, I'm really going to attack these social media platforms and try and be I don't know, just I guess not, I don't want to say influencer, but be a personality on there? Were you kind of just like, I've already got that on AFTV, I'm just documenting my life on the social media?
I think my social media was on before AFTV. And my Twitter was opened by my friend called Iwi. And my Instagram was opened by a friend of mine as well in uni then, Wally.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to be on social media, to be honest. They actually forced me on it.
Oh, wow.
I never wanted to be on it. And I'm like, Facebook is enough, that's fine, let me do other things. But they said, no, that's the in thing, that you just have to be on it. So when I got on it, it was just that I was just posting one or two. But it was when I did my first interview on AFTV that it blew. Was it the first one? I don't think it was one of the first ones. I can't remember which one, but that day I sang a song called Melo Melo by Olamide.
Okay, so let's stop right here and just say, so you sung a song.
Yeah.
Your first interview, or was it later?
One of the first ones. One of the first ones.
So you made a conscious decision to do the singing at the beginning?
No. We lost to West Ham.
Right.
I think it was West Ham at home. First game of the season. And I was shocked.
Yeah.
I think I was on AFTV the season before. I can't even remember my
days. That's fine. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But I think it was West Ham we lost to. So I just came out. And I remember holding my... the boxes they send you for season ticket. I was holding them hey. Arobi actually said, Melo, Melo. Like, so it then went viral.
Wow.
So I got back home. I didn't know what was going on. I got back home and then I saw my Twitter was blowing up, my Instagram was blowing up. I'm like, yo, what's going on? People were tweeting at me, laughing. And I'm like, yo, what's happening here? So people who follow me, I follow them, but my friends say, no. You're getting famous, you don't need to follow back.
Yes,
that's it. I'm like, is this how the thing is? I just, like, I tell people this is my fame, it's by accident. It was just by accident.
Okay, yeah.
So it just
yeah.
happened. And yeah. I was, you know, you're scared, like, you don't know what's going
on. You don't know what to do,
You don't know what to do. So, yeah. So that was how it started.
Okay,
you know,
interesting. Yeah. So you were singing from the early days. That was going to be my first question, is what made you decide?
No, that singing too was by accident.
Wow.
But what made me then make it a permanent fixture, yeah. I mean, maybe we might get into that, was that.
No, we're gonna get.
I was celebrating one. I keep celebrating my culture. That's part of my culture.
Of course,
this is most of the Afrobeats that I sing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I felt that a few people on there were too negative for me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had to use the song to dilute the negativity
right.
with my positive vibes.
Right.
So
right.
that was actually one of the main pushers of that.
Okay. So let's dig into that a bit more. So you saw. We don't have to obviously name names, but obviously, so those characters that you felt were. Probably negative towards the clubs, the club or players, yes. and you feel like
I had routes with them. I probably was the only one that I squatted with so many people on this channel because I don't like negativity,
right?
You know, and sometimes I know I might say something you guys might not like it. When I see people that do not like AFTV, I kind of understand it.
Mm, okay,
but again, I try to tell them it's not AFTV; it's the
individuals
on AFTV.
Okay.
That is the difference.
There's
a clear difference there.
Yeah.
And I tell them that you cannot censor somebody or don't give the person freedom of speech. To be honest, it took me time
to understand
and respect the negative opinions.
Because
I used to be, I'll say it here, it's all host bad or no host bad. I don't watch everybody's interview on AFTV.
Yeah, of course.
That's why I tell people, if you don't like whatever, switch it off. I do it. Because I might listen to a particular somebody here and my mood will just spoil because what he's saying, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's injurious or whatever to a player or to the club. I don't like it.
Mm.
So I'd rather not watch.
Okay.
If I'm there, you're doing an interview and I'm there, I just step aside.
Yeah.
Because I might get angry and I might overreact. You understand?
Mm.
And that's the difference. And I've tried my best to talk to people to say, it's all for you to say Cecil. Get out of here. You can say, Tessa, excuse me.
Yeah.
It's the same thing you're saying.
Okay.
Which one will Tessa react adversely to? Is get out of here. If you tell Tessa, excuse me, he will excuse you politely.
Yeah.
You know, so these are the things that I tried my best to imbibe in these people. You know, as someone that has taught students and stuff, I can't tell a student to, you're a very bad student. No. If you check I saw your nephews the other day, you brought them. I'm sure if you check their report card, you see what went well.
Yeah.
Even better if. Yeah, the teacher can, if you see that report card, you go to the teacher and like, what do you mean by his rubbish student? Do you understand? That is how it works. These footballers are human beings.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They have families.
Mm.
They have nephews and nieces.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a contributor on this channel saying something about a player and abusing a player. And the player's nephew goes to school and somebody there that watches everything say, so-and-so person called your uncle a this, a W, or a F this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that cost
me a lot. You were here when one of me and the contributors too almost had a fight.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I was trying to stop, not necessarily he was really abusive, but I could see the trend being set, trap being set. And once it's set, it might not mean it that way. The next person will pick it up and say something else. Next thing you know, we are talking about racial abuse now. That's the spiral effect. But they don't see it at that moment. Oh, they want to do this cause the player abuse. You don't need all that. Just drink water and calm down.
Yeah.
Everybody's angry. That we don't know. Do you think I'm happy when Arsenal lose? No. But I walk around. I calm down. Sometimes you say, Kirit, where have you been? I'm calming down.
Yeah.
Because if I come there, I might say something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm human as well.
Right, I understand that.
So
understand
you have to keep yourself, put yourself in check and tell yourself, no.
Yeah.
This player you're abusing, it's not fair on him. He's doing a job. He's having a bad day at the office. All he needs is support.
Okay.
I've seen it with, this time now I can name names because I'm sure the player might not be angry. If he calls me, that's fine. Alex, he will be fine.
I knew he was going to, we're gonna talk about him as well in a second.
Fine. And I see the abuse and I see the way it's affecting him. I see it myself. They might not say anything. Or I'm sat with the dad. I was sat with the dad one time in Bournemouth and people were abusing the son. And I'm looking at the dad like, he's helpless.
Yeah.
As a parent, you're looking at it like, you're like, wow. You're like, uncle, you're trying to say, it's fine.
And they know it's the dad. And they're abusing the dad. Oh, one time, one of our contributors, yeah, I think he will be, we lost to Tottenham, and he will be waved at a fan or something, said, call me or something. Mm. And the contributor here was not happy with that. And they said, oh, when I see his father, I'll talk, who are you to say that? Mm. Insult an old man. When I see his father, because the guy comes around when he sees AFTV members, how you guys doing, take some pictures. Sometimes when he has extra tickets, he can say, oh, your camera doesn't have a ticket. Okay, take. He's always very courteous. Like, he's a jolly, good, very lovely guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of his love that he comes to us and says hi, when he sees us, especially at our away game, says hi, and then moves on, he's now like, when you see him, you will talk to him. Mm. Who are you? Mm. You understand? So when you see those kind of things, or to be honest, when I started getting even more angry at some of these contributors,
yeah,
was the whole Wenger out thing. I never said one time, you will never see me say Wenger out. Mm. It's all the man. Mm. Am I mad?
Kelechi, but is blind positivity also?
It's not blind positivity.
Dangerous. Okay.
It's not blind positivity. Mm. You cannot say blind positivity.
No, no, I'm
doing to a human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I understand that this is a human being. Yeah. I understand that the person is messing up at his job. Mm. So how do I balance it out? Mm. I criticize the person constructively.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's the difference. So there's you're saying avoid the abusing.
Avoid it.
Be constructive.
If you see what. I'm looking at the whole Wenger situation. I'm looking at what a 68 year old man would be sucking in.
Yeah, yeah.
The abuse, the vitriol, everything towards him. Mm. Is that fair on him? Sometimes you just sit back and ask yourself, if I'm in this position, how will I react? How would I feel? Is that simple? Put yourself in the position of that person. Mm, mm. But everybody thinks it's automatic. Oh, it comes to the job. He can be. No, he is still human.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's that simple. Mm.
No, I understand.
That's why when people tell me, oh, you people pursued Wenger, I say, me, how? Are you mad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've seen him funny, I've seen him 3-4 times since he left. It's always cordial. Mm. It's always cordial. It's always love. If I see the man say, let me just lie down and worship himself. The guy did well, in my opinion. Then maybe the last 10 years wouldn't be what he wanted. And people, he should have gone after the FA Cup final when he won. Mm. Who decides when you bow out? Mm. You as a human being, you work here. You might want to bow out from AFTV and then you decide to go with the loudest ovation. We are all human. Mm. You might want to say, oh, now that I've won the FA Cup, I think I have a chance to win the Premier League. Let me give it another try. He's a human being. Mm. He's a human being. He felt the FA Cup maybe was not too high enough for him to bow out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so these are the things you need to process before you go and do stuff that you're not supposed to do. Mm. You know, I've seen people abuse, and that's why sometimes, you know, when you hear the chants at the stadium or AFTV, mm. you're like, I don't like it personally, mm. but anybody complaining about it because it's not me, I guess, that they're targeting. I don't have any business with that. Because I don't. If you're used to abusing players, then you shouldn't have a problem with that. Mm. That's what I think in my head. I have a problem with that because I do not abuse anybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do not curse anybody. I've never done it. So I have a problem with that. Do I really get accosted by people to say, no, not really? You see one or two that say, oh, go back to your country,
yeah, yeah.
or AFTV is this. And you're just like, okay. Mm. You just walk on.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you at the last game, you and another colleague of ours, you know, having a word with someone.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm trying to signal people like, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Yeah, I know I saw
VCA. Yeah, yeah, just it's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
They have the right to their opinion. If you have the right to your opinion, they have the right to their opinion. Yeah,
which is fair, which is why you just
allow it. They have the right to their opinion. If somebody doesn't like something, he doesn't like something. Mm. Some people say, well, you defend this person. No, I'm not defending them. I know that they are not breaking any laws. Same way that AFTV is not breaking any law. Mm. So they can do what they want to do. France is not abusive and stuff. I don't have any problem with that. You know, so when we get to realize these things, if I was the one that abused people, then maybe I might be concerned about it, really.
Yeah, that's the same with when the person was having a go. Like, I wanted to conversate with them because you never see me going off the rails and being personal. I work with young professional players, so it wouldn't make sense. But that's why I wanted to conversate. And then it got to a point where what they're trying to say, it was getting rude and it was not. Mm. They had no grounds of what they were saying. So I
just switch it. I just smile. Sometimes when I get it, I just smile and I walk. Mm. Now, when you are now ratio, then I will change.
Yeah,
maybe, if I decide to change for you, I will change. Mm. But at first, you are telling to your opinion, sir. Mm. You know, but don't get insultive or abusive about it, because I don't give people negative energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, same. I always try to give people positive energy no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Once you meet me, I need to make, even if I'm having the worst day of my life, I won't make it affect you. I'll try and make it positive for you, so the positive experience. Sometimes when people ask you for pictures and stuff, you're tired.
Mm.
But that guy has actually asked you, maybe removed shame and embarrassment to ask you. Yeah. Are you going to say no? No. No. Come on, let's have it. And I move. You know, in as much as it might not be conducive for me, but I'm happy to do it for you.
Mm.
But a lot of things, you know, you see here, you know, I'm not having a go at any particular person.
No,
that's the case. I've seen it for years, and I'm like, you know, there's no harm in criticizing somebody constructively.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people were surprised when I technically defended Xhaka. I didn't defend him practically, but I just said I understood the reaction. And it was a simple human reaction. If you deep things, you will understand the reaction. I hate what he did with the captain's armband. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And every other thing. But you cannot abuse a player, block his car with his pregnant wife inside, abuse him on social media. It comes down to, it's just like our current goalkeeper.
Ramsdale. Yeah.
People were abusing the guy.
Mm.
I posted in support of it. I always post in support of my players. I post in support of opposition players. I posted in support of Jesse Lingard when he was abused one time.
Yeah.
Jesse messaged me to say thank you.
Mm.
That's why sometimes I don't see all these club affiliations when it comes to that kind of thing. I don't see it.
Mm.
I posted in support of Ramsdale. Now everybody's Ramsdale is this. But you were abusing him weeks ago. Till now he hasn't even opened his comment section. Well, you can't even at him.
Yeah, I know, unless you follow him. But that's the thing. Is that a social media? Do you think social media is a problem? Obviously, that is the theme. Is that a problem then, Kelechi, nowadays, in the sense that people have, they're allowed to have their opinions and their voice, but they have such an opinion that everyone's able to comment and say what they want on social media and have all these comments. Do you think that there's a problem with social media, or do you think it's actually a good thing? Because obviously it's progressed a lot of people's careers. It's been able to connect with players.
It has its good and bad things, you know, like every other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It has good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends on how you use it. And I believe that it should be used positively to impact people and not to put them down.
Okay.
You know, you've not seen the person do stuff before, you already have an opinion.
Yeah.
Relax.
Mm,
and even if you have an opinion, do it constructively.
Mm.
That's all.
That's all.
It's not that deep. It's not that hard.
Mm.
We are all angry with the state of Arsenal, with this, but I'm not going to come and abuse somebody or block his car and arrange abuses. Am I mad?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. I'm with you. That stuff is way too far. And I think, from being a player and now I'm being on the other side, being a player and a dedicated fan all my life, there's different facets of a mentality of when I was a player and understanding fan behaviour and not understanding fan behaviour, then being a fan and still to this day agree with having an opinion and being what you think on players and whatnot, but not ever personal. And I've always said that, never be personal. Yeah, always be, like you said there, either constructive or just have an opinion, but it never needs to be personal in any way and damaging cars and all that. That's just beyond.
You know, people don't just do stuff, you know.
Beyond.
It tires me sometimes. It does tire me. And we've been preaching these things. When Iwobi was here, and I posted it once, anytime he's racially abused, just check the next, I'm next there. I've suffered enough racial abuse.
Yeah.
Especially when Iwobi was in the club. In fact, it got to a point, even my friend, where I just came back from Leeds, where I was yesterday, you know, there was a time Iwobi caused a goal at Man City. That was like four seasons ago or something.
Mm.
He was one that caused the goal before Koscielny then equalized. I wasn't at the game. I was supposed to be at the game. But my friend's son died that morning in the house.
Mm. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So there was no way I could have gone for the game. So Iwobi then caused the goal. God, see Twitter. I was being abused online.
You were?
Yeah. I was being abused because obviously I protect my players, especially Iwobi as well. Because mine is, any player that is down, that they are cursing, that's the player I'm speaking to.
Any player that is down. Yes,
any player that is down.
Okay.
That they are abusing very well.
Okay.
You check me, I'm in his camp. Check very well, I'm there.
Okay.
Because I don't think you should be abusing somebody, even if the person is not playing well. What do you think started the Ketia call me? You know what I mean? Ketia call me. It's all part of the hype.
Mm.
Bro, forget, you know, it's Ghanaian British. Get there, block all those people.
Don't worry.
Because he needs positivity to play well.
Hmm.
So back to what I was saying. And they were abusing me. And now they didn't know that I had suffered a bereavement that morning.
Hmm.
Then I then tweeted that, yo, like, I just said my nephew, and I'm receiving abuse because it will be cost to go. And he could say, oh, you did not know, sorry. Ah, you didn't need to know that, though, but do I deserve it? Does it will be deserve it? Anybody can make a mistake.
Right.
If you notice the interview I did with you last week, I said, Tavares, nah, we're not having any abuse here. Anybody can make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can. I've made so many mistakes.
Hmm.
So I don't get it. The first instance is for people to abuse, not to support.
Yeah, yeah.
When a player makes a mistake, you see his mates telling him, oh, chin up, chin up. It doesn't mean that they are not, they're happy with the mistake. No, they're not.
No.
But it's like, okay, let's just get out of the system. Let's just go, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So I don't get all this negativity and negative vibes. I don't get it.
No, so I respect that. And it's making me understand you more as well, because I know you're the vibe. I know vibes, man. I'm a vibes man. I live for vibes. You know my thing.
Although when I'm singing, when we lose,
now when
you put your face like, I'm wondering this guy.
Yeah, because no, when we lose, I feel like
it's a sorrowful song again. It's still part of the. Yeah, it's part of.
I get that. When we lose, it does hurt me as much as it does hurt me, and I understand this is your thing. It's your time to sing, and it's your opinion time. So yeah, but you're right, when we lose is a bit different for me. But I want to ask you as well, you speak about Iwobi there a lot, Kelechi. When did you guys become associated quite closely together? Was it through social media before? Did you sit next to his dad? I know you've got a good relationship with his father. Like, when did this all come together? Because this kind of led on to you meeting other footballers and being close with them as well, I believe, with Iwobi being kind of the main guy. When did that all start? Was that just from the way you are on social media before and on AFTV? Is that how you kind of built the relationship, or did you just sit?
Yeah, we knew ourselves. Obviously, I go for some of the youth games as well. So just
from early. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Arsenal, obviously, parents will identify with their people as well. So
yeah,
just normal vibe. So there was no closeness there. But I think it was when we lost that Nottingham game. I don't know if you remember. They said he went for a party
The night before. Yeah, now, I remember this. I actually remember hearing about that as well.
Exactly. Now, the problem I had with that, I know the kid. At that time, I already know the kid. Mm. And it's like, there's no way. Because he was living with his parents at that time.
Yeah.
So I think they still live to, you know, obviously it's in Everton now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, there's no way he will leave the house a night before the game. I think it was Claude that first sent me the image. I woke up, I looked at it, I'm like, it's not possible. A night before, one, he'll be with the team.
Yeah.
It's not possible. I rang the dad, he didn't pick up. I said, okay. So I did my own research. Called one or two people that I know. They said, no, it was his friends, I think it was his best friends. He just showed face.
Okay.
Now, it wasn't the night before. It was two nights before. So let's say you're supposed to be in bed at 10, two nights before, he was there at 9 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, what problem I had was the Sun newspaper blowing it as a front page.
Wow.
When we lost to to Nottingham.
Nottingham, yeah.
Then they put it as front page. That day, Theresa May reshuffled her cabinet. That should be headline news. No, but it would be what headline news. What? Let us put down a black man. That's the way I saw it. I said, no, I will do my own research. So when I found out what happened, I said, okay, what he did wasn't right.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad as it's been made to look. Luckily for me, I came to AFTV. I had so many, because people knew I knew the family. So I had so many media requests, Nigeria, BBC, to speak on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always give priority to AFTV. So AFTV came with their request, Robbie, and I attended. So Robbie was interviewing me. What people don't understand is I talk less, but I keep receipts.
Mm.
But I talk less. You won't see me say anything, but I have my receipts.
Mm-hmm.
So Robbie was talking, and then he said, you know, what do I have to say and everything? And I said to Robbie, you remember the FIFA awards you went for? You, Troops, DT. He said, yes. I wasn't there because I wasn't feeling well. So I said, do you remember taking pictures with Xhaka, Elneny and Giroud? He said, yes. I said, that was actually a night before we played, I think it was Doncaster, that Eddie came on and scored two goals.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Did you tell Elneny to go and sleep? oh, did you tell Shaka or Juru to go and sleep?
Did they play in the game as well?
And then he played.
Okay, that's the.
And then he was still partying with Maradona after the event.
Oh, I've seen the photos from that event.
Exactly.
Because
in my head, I'm like, yo, you might start to, because Xhaka might not start. I know he's a first team player. He might not start.
And
Giroud might be giving a rest. But I think Giroud came on. I think Giroud played, yeah. Because we were looking for goals. I think Eddie came on and scored two. I hope I'm not mistaking the games. But
okay,
Giroud was there.
Yeah.
And then he played. So did you tell Eneni to go to bed? He's like, the video is still there. He's like, really? He now asked, you know, the media people to check whether I, they say, yeah, it's true. He said, no, you didn't. So then the Nigerian should go to bed, right? And again, even the Nigerian one was two nights before, not even a night. About two nights four, before. Yeah. This is a night. And they still played.
That's interesting that you kept all the, yeah, you kept the receipts kept, for that time. No, yeah.
Okay. Imagine me now shouting on social media, oh, Eneni. Go to bed. What are you doing?
No, it wouldn't make sense. Yeah, that,
do you understand? It doesn't make any sense.
No, because that's your, so, it's your team. Yeah, but
probably he had club permission to go as well.
Of course.
So, but again, for me, as a, not a professional player, as a fan, I would expect him not to actually be there that late or be there at all, actually.
Yeah.
If you have a game the next day.
Yeah.
So when he didn't say that, that's what I was, and I said, but you guys were busy taking selfies. But people are there now attacking the Nigerian boy. After that, nobody had, and that was the same interview I gave across all the interview places I did. Everybody said, oh, right. So some people in that FIFA event played the next year for their clubs.
Yeah.
People didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, because it frustrates me because they act like, not the players, the players, I think in this country, it's very much like players shouldn't go out and party. And I'm going to be honest, I've been in, it's going to sound, it's not about me, but I've been in Arsenal parties. I've been with parties with Iwobi, Tchoubak, Pom. This was years ago, it's when I was a player. And they're training the next day. I've been with J. Emmanuel Thomas. I've been in parties. But again, sometimes some footballers have different mentalities. Some just go to show face, drink water, leave early. Some are there, obviously, partying their way and enjoying themselves. I'm not going to mention the players because not here to do that. But that does happen. I think that time, I do remember as well, Iwobi was all over, there was over the front page for that. It is wrong. That was wrong.
That
I think
wrong.
That was wrong.
It's the same thing as when a black player builds a house for his mom and a white player builds a house for his mom, one is seen as wasting money, one is seen as, oh, a good kid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Mm. So we've seen it a lot. So when I saw that headline, I knew I had to do something about it.
Mm.
And I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I called it out straight
away. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for you for that on that one, Kletchy. I'm going to ask you quickly, we're going to move forward to your current Instagram bio, because I kind of want to get more in depth about you and what it says, basically, and explain it. So first one says, Africa's biggest sports blogger. You stand by that? Yeah, is that how you feel?
It's a big statement.
We're
the ones that ran with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for yesterday I was on some YouTube live with some, you know, YouTubers, and the props they were giving me for, you know, setting the pace, you know, and it's there. They know already. And the way I've also branched out to other sports like the NBA, you know, it's rare for you to see a football podcaster branching off to other sports.
Oh, so is that what's happening right now? So you get contact from other...
Yeah. Wow. I'm doing NBA stuff now.
Yeah, because that's big. I know they are very much, obviously, you see the Phillies and all that, and the Harry Panera's getting involved.
I support the Bucks now. I used to support the Lakers, but now, because of Giannis, I support the Bucks now.
Oh, okay.
Boxing six.
Okay, nice. So, okay, that explains that, obviously. They're saying that you're the sports blogger and that you've been moving on to other sports, and traction's getting a lot more towards you. I've seen you, I've spoken to you before, saying, obviously, you spoke with a big company yesterday, a big brand as well. So you're doing a lot. Your next thing in your bio says PhD Environmental Engineering. So just explain that to me. So you got a PhD in...
Yeah, I have a doctorate degree in environmental engineering from University of Leeds.
Wow, okay.
Although at the moment, I'm just, you know, doing some consultancy stuff with it.
Okay.
But obviously, I'm still doing my content as well on the side. Mm. I used to teach before as well.
Wow.
But I stopped teaching, how many years now? 3 years now, so...
Yeah. Is that the photo of you in the lab? I think I've got a photo of you in the lab.
The one in the lab.
In the lab jacket, no?
No, it was when I was still just trying to round up my PhD.
Okay, so this one here is okay.
I had to. Yeah, sometimes we post it to remind them that, we have this thing. Then we don't make noise with it.
Okay, so you got a PhD in environmental engineering, and you said that obviously right now it's a bit stagnant, obviously, because you're doing a lot. Do you think that the time that you're doing all this content and work with brands has taken up the time that you could use for the environmental engineering PhD? Or do you prefer, because it's a new world, it's a new age. I spoke to Turkish about this. Things have changed. Like, this new world of social media and careers you can have in it, it's quite powerful. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you want to go back to using your PhD, or do you want to balance both? Are you happy with how you're doing?
I use it, but not the way I would love to use it.
Yeah.
I'm just doing some consultancy stuff. But when I was teaching, I was actually bridging the two.
Yeah.
So I'll give you your 9 to 5.
Right.
In fact, I'll stay in school and change to my...
Superman things. So you get
into my other life straight. So I don't have a problem bridging it. The only problem I might have is if a client wants me to go to America, for instance.
Right.
The MBA says, okay, you need to fly to America.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't take time off teaching.
No.
You understand?
Yeah, you can't
do
that.
So that's the only time that it will, you know, clash. But with working from home, now you can work from anywhere, you know?
Like I said, it's a new age, it's a new world. I didn't ask you, are your parents over in Nigeria, in Africa, so they're not here?
No, they're not here.
Okay, interesting. Do they know about your... They must know about your... like, you got to be... explain, are they happy with...
Yeah, well, you know, African parents is the book.
This is what I have to ask.
It's the book first.
Of course.
Before any other thing.
Of course.
So sometimes, you know, there was a time my dad called me and said, you did this PhD, but it looks like you're not using it. I know you're doing a few stuff, but you know, you did where you're supposed to use it. I'm like, yo, yeah, I get it, but... Because I went for the Queen's church service once. That was when we still had to gather in 2020 for Commonwealth church service. And he was so happy that, you know, the palace invited me for the church service. You know, so I'm like, you know, you remember that time the palace invited me? So yeah, I'm like, you were happy. Now you were really bragging to your friends that they didn't invite me for my PhD, you know. Because of my impact in the community, my content and everything, because impact is clear in the Nigerian community or in the African community or diaspora community, whatever I do, it's clear what I do. You're like, okay.
I know you got a PhD in environmental engineering, and I get confused between this because Robbie tells me that you're a doctor, but I'm like, he's got a doctorate. Is he a doctor or a doctorate? Explain to me this degree stuff, because obviously I didn't go uni, so explain to me. So you're a doctor?
Yes, academic doctor. So the other one is medical doctor.
Right.
Academic doctor. So you have your BSc, master's, PhD.
Yeah.
So I've got a PhD, so doctorate of philosophy.
It's a big achievement. I can see why the parents must have been happy about that.
They tried. They tried. Kudos to them.
Yeah, kudos to them. Quickly, now, you do... the singing before fan cams, right? Which is before you start. And I want to ask you, because back in the day, I'm a Jamaican man. I'm going to be honest, light skin as well, Jamaican. We were popping back in the day. And not saying Africans were not, but, you know, I had African friends that wanted to pretend that they were Jamaican. But now, obviously, Afro beats and Afro sweet, the whole new Afro era is taken over, basically. When you do your fan cams, do you choose artists that are... I don't know, like, that are emerging, or do you go for the big stars, the Wiz Kids and all of those, the Burna Boys, does it matter who it is, or is it the vibe? Because I know sometimes you spend a lot of time before a fan cam deciding what song to play. Is it the vibe, the new artist, an old artist, a huge one? Like, do you have struggle choosing, or do you have is it just, that doesn't matter who it is, I don't care, I just like the music and this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything you mentioned. So it could be an upcoming artist, an underground artist, a popping artist, a veteran, it could be anything.
Okay.
In anyone.
So there's no bias at all?
There's
no
bias.
Good.
Then again, it's the vibe, it's the theme of the song. Do I need to change any lyric? Because obviously, you know, most of the time, or all the time, in fact, I don't swear. So if there's a swearing lyric there, I have to switch it to something.
Oh, do you do that?
Yeah, I have to switch just that part, just that one word.
I didn't know you did that, okay.
Yeah, I can switch it. And then each time I go for a game, maybe I might have a song in my head, like, okay, I'm going to sing this, because when I go to an Arsenal game, I always go with the positive mindset that Arsenal is going to win.
Yeah.
So then when I start to lose, then you now see me struggling to get a song. Say how I feel, you know, that kind of thing. So that's why you see me sometimes, I come on late, you know, because I'm trying. Oh, can I slow down the tempo of the one I wanted to sing already? You know, that kind of thing. So you're picturing it in your head, and, you know, I think it happened once. Again, we played Crystal Palace. We lost 3-0 or 4-0, I think, from 4 or 5 years ago. And I was in the stadium. My mom called me that my cousin committed suicide in Birmingham. Now, I looked at the time. It was a Monday night kickoff. By the time I go to Birmingham, the train's already finished. So when I came out, obviously there was no time to, because I'm just processing, I just lost my cousin.
Wow.
And a few fans were coming, you know, for pictures and stuff, and I was still doing the normal, but in my head, I'm still trying to process what's going on. Robbie didn't actually know. That was one of my most viral interviews. And then I was like, Wenger played three at the back, blah, blah, blah. That's what happened. Oh. So in my head is popping. The song I had in mind, I just, because I couldn't learn any other, I just slowed the tempo.
Yeah.
I just slowed the tempo. And for some reason, it became a viral hit. People still sing it today, even when they see me, they'll be like, all over, you know. I don't know how I just did it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have time to do anything because I wasn't doing anything. So people said to me, I've never seen you like this before. In my head, I'm like, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so I try to pick songs that, and again, I don't care if it's Angola or Ghana. For us, it's making sense. We'll give it to the people,
Okay, nice, nice. Is there anyone, Kelechi, that you would love to collaborate with? Or is there anyone that you, like, because...
I don't have the voice. I'm not collaborating. I don't have voice.
Not a singing collaboration, but like just get acknowledged by. Is there anyone that's like, I don't know, someone who you'd want to feel like you've been acknowledged by? Because you've been acknowledged by some big people, whether that's on TikTok, Instagram, like big people. I think it's Oprah that shared. Is it?
Yeah, Oprah shared my stuff. Yeah.
So
I really collaborate. I mean, your Bonner Boys, Wizkid, and the videos. Yeah, you've done all it. Yeah, if you check my socials, you see me on them.
I did do some research, but
I've been doing the covers or whatever you call it on AFTV for a long time now, even before TikTok became what it was. We're already doing it. So they already know you already.
Yeah.
When they see you, they acknowledge you, or, you know, I think the first time I met Wizkid, that was when he had his Starboy collaboration. Mm-hmm. Even before he released the collaboration, he already gave me a share. Mm. Nice to meet you. Davido, same. Bonner, his concerts, but the pre-concert, what do you guys call it now? Shed sale or whatever.
Yeah.
And
the tour, the merch tour.
I was there. If you check,
do you get acknowledged on their tour? Do you get to go backstage?
I go everywhere. Backstage, they acknowledge me. Definitely. If I, because of the singing, it kind of made me look like some music exec. You know, some people said maybe their songs before it's released. In my head, I'm like, I don't know.
All I gotta do is listen to the and that should get kind of washed away. No offense, but some of the books.
It's like if Kelechi can vibe to it, then it's fine.
Cool.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So people send me their songs and stuff. So I'm already in that entertainment. So from sports, I gravitate to entertainment. So all the concerts you can think of, I'm there.
And this is all from just from singing on AFTV.
Yeah, from AFTV. And then sometimes I do it in my room or I'm on the train. If you see the party announcement, I was already at the train party. Asno carried and posted it. You understand? It just be vibing to that part they came.
Yeah.
You understand that kind of thing? So we know the vibe. We know the vibe that we walk, and we just do it.
Wow, that's mad. That's actually crazy. And just how, again, it all started from AFTV, and just how much acknowledgement you get from. But you are at the end of the day doing it in a positive way.
Yeah.
You're doing it with the kindness of your heart. It's very clean. It's authentic. It's not fake. And you're representing your own blood and your own country. So, the African. Yeah, the continent you're from. So, wow, congrats as well on that. I keep saying congrats, but that is a very simple thing. It's very just a true thing that you do. But I find it crazy how much reach you have and the response from it all. Is there anyone you get starstruck by? I've seen you with Wenger. I've seen you at an event with Zidane.
Wenger, yes, 100%.
Serious?
Each time I see him, yes.
Every time as well?
Each time I see him, yes.
Even to this day. So
each time I see that guy's like, no, to that guy cannot do any wrong. I'm only disagreeing with him for the first time in my life when he's saying he wants to do World Cup every 2 years. That's the only prior I disagree with him. But each time I see him, I'm always right. Because the guy is like, oh my God. Like, if I born a son, I will have to name my son Wenger or Arsene or something. You know, the guy cannot do any wrong, you know. And so, obviously, because of, you know, the one or two FIFA affiliations like that, get invited to FIFA events. That's why he said,
Zidane, Wenger, R9 was there.
Yeah, and it's simple. When you're going for such events, you learn how to say hello in their language. So, although I was telling Zidane bonjour in the night, but he understood French, obviously. I said, bonjour, Zizou. If you watch the video, and I said, one picture. He now left his wife and came. He said, well, excuse me, came and took the picture. Yeah, that's the video, is there.
Oh yeah, I captured it
with my glasses. Yeah, he was bad. In fact, that day, and I was on the red carpet with my traditional attire.
You were.
I was glittering. Like, so a lot of them were coming towards me, like, you know, I like your shirt. I like it. You know,
Yeah, that's it. Wow. So Wenger's one that that kind of you still to this day get Star Trek. Did, again, Zidane, oh no, were you still Star Trek, or you just like, no, I'm in this place for a reason, or not, or was it just?
No, everybody, if you've not met them before, these are childhood idols. Of course, so you'd be starstruck by them, like, oh man, Zidane, I'm here to take a picture with me, I'm happy and stuff like that. Mm. Yeah, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, we're slowly coming towards the end. I want to just do a few more questions, obviously. The new emerging apps, you've TikTok, let's say, that's the new emerging one that's really kind of blowing up right now. And you jumped on that. You're doing very well on that.
I jumped on it late, though.
Did you? Oh, I didn't know that.
Because Lumos, they used to,
yes, used to be here,
was,
yeah,
pushing me to do it. And I told him, nah. Yeah. So it was during lockdown, then jumped on it.
During lockdown? Is that when you stopped?
Yeah. So if I had listened to him.
You could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that guy gives quality advice. I have to big him up.
Yeah, Lumos. Big up Lumos. Yeah, he's very much in the crypto world as well. Yeah, so he does give good advice. So you jumped on it late, which I didn't know that. Wow, because I still see you as you're very, very popular and very good on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's surprising that you jumped on it late. Do you enjoy creating content for these platforms? Do you really take time and pride in it?
Yeah, I do. You just have to structure it, you know, and do it when I'm a bit freer. Mm. And you know, sometimes do it in bulk.
Yeah.
I don't have to just film every day. Mm. Yeah, I can just film maybe 7 videos. I know that I'm done for the weekend and just continue and do that. Life. Yeah.
Do brands contact you to do it for them, or is it just, or do you just say I'm focusing on my own platform?
Yeah, brands contact me, but I can do something for a brand, but no, I'm doing it for a brand.
Mm.
So there are subtle mentions. There's a way I'll do it, but you will know it's for a brand.
Right. Yeah,
so work with different brands and, you know, we do different bits and bobs here and there.
Okay, amazing. Okay. Let me ask you, Kelechi. We're coming, like I said, we're coming towards the end. What do we expect to see from Kelechi in the next, I don't know, couple of years? What I don't know how to say future goals, because I hate all that and 5-year plan and all that, but what is obviously following Arsenal forever, carrying on, but do you expect to push forward now with all the social media stuff? Because that, again, that is the theme, or do you want to get back into having the balance of your doctorate and teaching and doing social media? What do you have in mind?
I'll probably have to have a balance.
Mm.
Although it might not be. You see, sometimes, yeah, when you overplan these things, it might not work the way it is.
Correct. That's why I don't have a plan. I never have any plans, like future that, plans
me
because
too,
of that.
Because the way I see it, they could just call me up now. I'm needed in so-and-so country. Mm. And I've already planned to do some maybe 9-to-5. Am I going to quit? They might not allow me work from there. And some jobs, they'll tell you cannot work from abroad.
Yeah.
You understand? And this content creation stuff you're going for, say, in America, is what, like, maybe some very good money that they won't pay in the civil service or whatever.
Mm.
It'd be like, what do I do?
Mm.
You understand? So that's why I don't like planning like that.
Yeah, would you travel? Say if a big company says that, come over to America and work and all that over there for a lot of money, would you take that risk and go over there? Would you miss Arsenal too much? Would you
It would be a hybrid.
Would you make it work?
I'm not gonna move. I love Arsenal too much, to be honest, to move. I mean, never say never.
Yeah.
But my current thought is that I will actually do a hybrid, you know, because I was sponsored to the World Cup last time.
Yeah.
I did my job there, I got paid and I came back.
Yeah.
You know, so if I am moving abroad for a client, it's for a particular time, do what I got to do, and then I come back. Because I enjoy my home and away games.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ready to give up my seat and stuff like that.
No, that makes full sense. Do you have plans of going back to Nigeria or building in Nigeria at all, like building anything once you get to a certain level, or do you see this here in England as your forever now?
Obviously, home is where it is, isn't it? So you have to go back. But before you build the next digital stuff, they also need some basic amenities there that you can help, you know, impact, or, you know, get child education,
right.
So you build not necessarily building infrastructure, but it could be human capacity. You know, there are different things to be done. There are so many things, in fact, you can do over there. So it's something that, as it comes, if it's within your expertise, is within your budget, then you go for it. So, but home is where the heart is, always is.
Home is where the heart is. Okay.
Home is also here too.
Yeah, of course, You've been here for a long time as well, so it counts. Obviously, you've been here for long enough to say this is obviously part of your culture as well. But I always ask people, would they? I don't always ask, but I always think, would I ever go back? To obviously, no, I was born here, Jamaica. Like, I always say to my grandparents, I'd love to build something in Jamaica at some point in my life. So I thought I'd ask you that as well. Quickly, this is what I do to every podcast. Is there anything you want to say to the people, one listening or watching on the visuals, before we end? Now, it might be something I haven't asked you. I might have missed out on something you want to say. You might have thought about this before you came on and thought, oh, I'd love to say this. If Cecil asks me, I'll go deeper on it. Anything, could be anything. Anything you want to say to them. I'll give you some time, have a little think. Hopefully not that.
Nothing really. Just keep supporting the Arsenal. Keep the positive mindset.
Mm.
If you don't like certain things, avoid it. Don't like certain things you see, don't watch it. You know, just the basics. Be friendly to people. You don't need to abuse people on the street or anything. Abuse people on social media.
Yeah.
They're just doing a job.
Mm.
If you don't like it, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, to your own, for me, constructive opinion, not abusive opinion. Just love one another. Life is too short. Keep up the positive vibes.
Nice.
And keep impacting yourself and impacting the community as well.
Okay, I just want to say thank you, Kelechi, for coming on and speaking with me, because, again, it was very positive. It was very nice to get to know you deeper on the show. And I love that positive vibe, and I love that that's what you came on and you're trying to portray and get by and live by. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Cecil, for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening or watching, wherever you're watching or listening to this on. And we will see you next time on Inside AFTV. Peace. Hey, respect.